Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Rub for McDonald's Chicken Big Mac.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh yeah, sun shining at the Triple M CG in the big build-up. Carlton versus Melbourne, 20 past three this afternoon. Big lineup of guests on the Sunday Rub. Seb Ross from the Saints. What about their first half last night? Brendan Goddard from the victorious Essendon Football Club. Brendan Bolton, the coach of the Carlton Football Club, who take on the D's today and joining us in the box. We're looking forward to chatting to this man. One of my favourites, Jack Watts, will join us in the box. We've also got the quiz and all sorts more. Roosie's in Hawaii, but don't worry, because the main man here, Wayne Swatter, is here. Hello, Swatter.
Yeah, good, Howie. Took the IV out this morning, left the hospital. I should be in hospital recovering, but I tell you what, Herculean effort in the absence of Roosie to fill in and lift again.
And nice to see Wayne Carey, who, like myself, is normally a white shirt or a blue shirt man. He's gone in a knit, which are always very tight. They've been shrunk in the wash, but he's gone the mauve. I like it.
What colour would you call this?
Sort of a
ready,
mauve,
ready pinky mauvey sort of look.
And it looks very nice on you, and everything always looks nice on this man. The picture of fitness, Jay Clark. Hello, Clarky.
We're going the same colour, Duck. It's always... It's good to follow you in the fashion.
Same colour, that's about where it stops. One's stylish, the other one's... I'm not sure what
wears
that
it
is.
A little better than the other.
Yes, and I predict you're tipping yourself there. Hey, we'll get into the pies. We'll get into the pies shortly.
Big story,
but,
big story. Hey,
it is a big story.
You've come across some information, is my understanding.
Yeah.
You've received an email during the week.
I have.
Something along the lines of someone within this box, can I say heavy training load?
Well... I did.
Is that the right way?
A mate of mine's a personal trainer. I'm actually not sure if we're allowed to go with this.
Is this a bad duck?
No, it's not.
MJ's
a bad
just been training again, duck. Ticked off by legal. Go ahead, plough in.
Yeah, I was listening to you during the week, Harry. Yeah. You got this is one of your little bugbears.
Well, no, it's not a bugbear.
You're doing breakfast radio at the moment, filling in Triple M, obviously.
Yes.
Did someone call you during the week a fattest?
They did, and that was most unfair. That was my co-host, and that sort of makes me a little bit nervous about bringing this to the table.
What is it?
Well, Jay-Z, you've been doing some training. You're probably not aware of this situation. Yeah. You've been doing
as
some training.
As he grabs his tummy.
listen, before I go too far down this path, the gym you're training at, I've got a mate that works there, and I got an email which was basically a body composition test that you did, Jay-Z.
How did you get that, mate? The analysis.
The analysis.
It was frightening.
So, are you happy with me to bring to the Triple M audience what the results of this body composition test were?
Go on.
So, from what I can gather, a good skinny test, when you're doing your fat and skinny...
Skin folds, yeah.
Skin folds. What sort of body percentage were you looking at to be an elite AFL football?
Oh, under 10%.
Under 10%. Well, the average human, apparently, is at about 16%.
Yep.
Now, our man JC got the old calipers.
Nearly broke them.
Well, the number that springs off this email is 24.5.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The further statistic there is apparently weighing about 90 kilos.
Yeah, 90 kilos for the first time in my life. Geez, 2 weeks ago. Collingwood coach Nathan Buckley says the Pies are at the tipping point. I was at the tipping point a couple of weeks ago. Nearly broke the bloody scales.
A 5'6 and 90 kilos just doesn't...
Of that 90 kilos, apparently, from this body composition test, which I was emailed,
look, this
22 kilos of fat on the man's body. Yes. 22 kilos.
So you've got to start somewhere, Jay. That's a baseline.
Yep. This is positive for us. Yeah, we're trying to help you out here, Jay-Z. Yeah. What are you doing to
360 degree
to remedy this situation?
This all happened a fortnight ago, Howie, so I don't know how you've got this information, but it's clearly come from a good source.
So it is accurate?
It is accurate. I basically, you know those mouses that are on those spinning wheels? I've basically been on one of them for the past two weeks, to be honest.
Away where your wife and kids went away.
Yeah, that was.
How many suvas do you reckon you piled into yourself after a big weekend on the gas?
Yeah, that was a big weekend. Since then, I've only had one beer. So I've been down at Scotty Penderbury's gym down at Progression Fitness, which is a great spot.
Let me assure you, they've got a leak down there. That's how I got this email.
There's a photo which caught my attention. I reckon when you're at the gym, you don't have time to take photos of the gymnasium. Normally, you've got dumbbells, or you're on a treadmill, or you've got a skipping rope. You've got Jimmy Bradley's boxing ball.
Yeah.
I reckon if you're at the gym, mate, you put the phone down, stop putting photos on Instagram up and start doing some bloody hard work.
Yeah, I was too frightened to put one of me actually working out on there, to be honest, Schwader. But we went through my diet with this guy. He's like, well, what are you doing wrong, mate? You got to lose 10 kilos and 10 kilos of fat pretty quickly because, you know, you got two young kids. This is a serious issue for you. You know, your pants no longer fit anymore. What are you doing with yourself? That kind of stuff. And I said, what do I eat? You know, I have like oats in the morning and then, you know, a bit of sushi at work through lunch. And he's like, right, sushi's the silent killer.
Sushi?
Yeah, so they said, like, what what they do is they pour all this that syrup or that
Rice wine vinegar.
All that syrup through the rice, which makes it sticky, and of course, which makes it really nice. So I sort of have that 3 or 4 times a week, and now my pants no longer fit. But the past fortnight at Progression Fitness, the boys have the Pendlebury's got
every
me
Sunday. You're at 24.5 every Sunday. I want a new reading.
Yep.
And we're going to get you down to 16 before the
end of
the season.
And we're going for a target of 80 kilos, is that right?
Yep.
So
gotta
by the time 80. We get to the end of the, the end of the AFL season, we want to be 80. And this is where I reckon the Triple M family really come to the fore. At Triple M Footy, if you've got some legitimate suggestions, nothing silly, but legitimate suggestions for those people who have had some success in this regard, what have you done that has worked for you that can help Jay-Z shave off 10?
He's got me excited because I'm starting my training regime tomorrow.
See what happens.
And
for
I
what?
Am... what?
For what?
Just to look
you're
good.
In good. You must have another trip coming up, hasn't it?
Yeah. We'll have
two in a season now.
We'll have an ab off in 4 weeks from today.
Mate, I haven't seen mine in about 4 years.
It is an ab off on the Sunday rub in 4 weeks'
four
time.
4 weeks' time, ab off.
Bigger problems than what you've got going on, Jay-Z Collingwood. They had another loss yesterday going down to the Bombers by 37 points.
I'll tell you what, boys, I reckon we're possibly seeing the end of Nathan Buckley.
I have no doubt now. I mean, this, not that this game was a be and end all for Bucks, but I just think that the writing's on the wall. We all know that.
You just can't get around the fact that they don't really have a game plan that anybody watching can go, yes, that's the way we want to play.
5 seconds to go in the game. Bombers win it by 37. Collingwood out of the finals race this year.
Feels like we've reached a bit of a tipping point, to be honest, with the players. I thought it was the first time that I'd seen, you know, probably the players look like they'd lost a bit of hope.
That was the Collingwood coach, Nathan Buckley, with a little bit of reverb from the boys into the audio booth, which doesn't ever make things sound good. It was a tough day for everyone involved with the Collingwood Footy Club yesterday, Jay-Z.
He's pretty much well under the pump, isn't he? If the season ended now, you think the Collingwood power brokers would be hard to reappoint Nathan Buckley for next season. But for me, fellas, the problems at the Pies go so much deeper. I mean, this was a powerhouse club, which I think has really regressed in a lot of areas over the past few years. I wrote something in the Herald Sun yesterday, the seven sins of Collingwood, looking
good
at
article,
some recruiting,
mate.
Some facilities, some other issues, the lack of a consistent football manager. There's been 4 different ones over the past 5 years. So I think when Collingwood analysed not only Nathan Buckley, and there's a big review going on at the moment, and Jeff Walsh is also central to a stringent review of the football department, I think Collingwood as a whole footy club really got to look itself in the mirror at the moment, because there's no doubt that they have left this let this man down in Nathan Buckley. And you look at some of the skill errors yesterday, well, woeful. Braden Maynard in that first quarter. Jordan Ngoi last week played the best game of his career, 32 possessions, Duck. We all lauded him. Yesterday played full-time midfield, 14 possessions and 0 tackles. Now, is that a Nathan Buckley coaching issue? Like, some of the disposal errors, you know, Ngoi yesterday, the tackling. I mean, can we credit that all to Nathan Buckley? Or is this a footy club who's really at the crossroads?
I think you hit the nail on the head, and I think Roosey probably highlighted it last week, and saying that talking about doing a review, I mean, they're recruiting. That's what I look at, Swatter. And we can only make judgment from afar. We're not in the inner walls of Collingwood. So we sit back and say, okay, who have they recruited? How have they gone about it? They've just been mistake after mistake after mistake. Now, Bucks can't go out there and kick the ball for them. So skill errors and all that sort of stuff. Of course, that's not Nathan Buckley. But what Bucks' job is to try to get the best out of what he's got. Has he been able to do that? Has he brought something to the team? Has he brought a game plan or a brand, as Roosey often calls it, that we understand from the outside, and do the players understand? Clearly, the players are not getting what Nathan's trying to teach them. Therefore, that's why it's breaking down. Therefore, maybe they need to hear a new voice. Well, not maybe, they will hear a new voice.
If it's universally accepted, and I don't know if that's going too far, but if it's universally accepted that recruiting has been an issue for a number of years, injuries have played significant roles, some of the decisions to get players like Daniel Wells and Chris Mayne to the club, who aren't making a significant contribution to the playing group on a weekly basis.
Quinton Lynch, Jesse White. I mean, the list goes on and on. It goes way back. It's not just the last year or two.
I'll extend that further. Footy managers, he's had 5 in his tenure so far, Nathan Buckley. Issues with regards to perhaps some key personnel no longer at the football club. people are lining up Nathan Buckley, and it disappoints me. Yes, all roads lead to the senior coach at the end of the day, but has this football club given him every opportunity to be the best coach he possibly can? The easiest decision will be to move on the coach. But should the club go deeper and go, okay, we need to go right through this football club, and if we are going to make a decision on Nathan, we've got to look at recruiting, we've got to look at our footy manager role, we've got to look at our admin and make sure that there are other decisions in order to give the next coach who comes in the best opportunity.
And in terms of facilities too, I don't think the Holden Centre is the world-class facility that it probably might have been 5 or 10 years ago. The altitude stuff doesn't get used anymore.
I heard you say stuff about that.
It's not this facility stuff. Yeah, it might give you an incremental increase of 2 or 3%. And when it's a new facility,
not even
you love going there.
Yeah.
Okay.
But with all due respect.
Yep.
Kangaroos had a really successful era through the 90s, and we had portables.
Yep.
It's not about the facilities all the time. It's about the people, the right decisions we make.
You had Duckler.
Yeah.
We used to fill up bottles of water and bench press the load.
The composition of this list, and particularly with the midfield yesterday, I mean, the turnovers really killed them. And you look at guys like Taylor Adams, Adam Treloar, who's regressed significantly, I think, over the past month, Crisp, Greenwood. I think they're trying to coach a game plan there, which is heavily built on the midfield and pinpoint disposal, and they haven't got the foot skills really
to execute that. With all due respect to Crisp and Greenwood, they're good, honest football players. They're not elite users of the ball.
No.
You've got to have a game plan relevant to the list that you've got available.
Yep.
And if they want to use that high possession, finesse football, it's not going to work because they don't have the players that can execute it.
So the next part of this discussion, if Nathan is removed from his job, and for Nathan's sake, let's hope that's not the case, you're going to buy a new car, you've got to have one lined up ready to go. So the two questions here, Jay-Z, how do you play this out? Because this is the biggest club in the land. You don't want leaks. This is a superstar of the club. You don't want him finding out via external services, external areas. And also, who are you going to get to coach the club?
It's a good question.
Do you go with an assistant coach? Do you go with, like, our man Roosie's not here today, or does Collingwood need an established coach? What do they need?
I know Roosie's not here, so I'll say this.
And he's listening in Hawaii.
Yeah, and I'd say it if he was here. I just get a strong feeling Paul Roos is connected to Collingwood and he might be at Collingwood next year, and I give that observation because we sit here next to him every Sunday and we have done so for 15 weeks now, and just some of the things he says, it sounds to me, Swatter, that now he's obviously one of the great footy brains in our game and been an unbelievable coach, and what he did at Sydney and obviously at Melbourne, but the way he's spoken about Collingwood this year, I don't know what it is, Jay-Z, and you've sat here with him as well, and you've asked him a couple of times. He gave you two times. You've already used those
up.
You got one more up your sleeve.
But he's not here, and he'll be here next week, and this conversation is going to build and build and build. We've got another 8 weeks of the 7 weeks of the footy season to go, and that's going to be the talk. Who's it going to be? When, you know, all of that sort of stuff. I don't think Roosie will be sitting here with us on Triple M next year.
I think that he's the most logical choice for any club to go and have a conversation with. I think Roosie's got enough respect not to put himself in a position where that could be perceived to be undermining Bucks, because I think Roosie's all about character and class. But if you look at what Roosie did at Sydney, and if you look at what Roosie's done at Melbourne, he has a history of being able to bring a team in.
That's what he said last week.
And he spoke about it last week,
that's
Duck.
Right.
So it's not just. And he also spoke, Duck, about the fact that if he was interviewing somebody as a potential coach, he would want to spend time understanding, well, if I'm interviewing Wayne Carey for the vacant coaching job at this club, who else do you want to bring in, and why do you want to bring them in, and what are they going to bring to the table?
That's what made me really think about it. And even, you know, even during this week, you know, for whatever reason, it popped into my head, and I just thought, he's really thought about it, and he spoke a lot about bringing his team, and he spoke a lot about Collingwood's team at the moment. Not the footballers, not Nathan Buckley, but the team that Bucks has got. And that he's put a lot of thought into that.
Yeah.
So how does a club handle it? Because it so often blows up, Jay-Z, for obvious reasons. Because in the perfect world, if they were going to move Nathan on, and that's a big if, we're not saying that's going to happen, but if they were going to move Nathan on, the best way is for it to happen at the end of the year. Nathan coaches out of the year. They don't want to be seen to be sacking a favourite son. He doesn't want to walk away with 4 weeks to go. Yet a footy club, in all conscience, can't wait till the end of the season to start thinking about talking to other coaches, getting another coach. So this is the situation where you've got the coach here in charge of the club, but the club's almost forced to go and talk to other people. As soon as you get word of that, Robbo, Ralphie, it's on the front page of the paper, and that's when it gets messy.
They're not making a move on Nathan Buckley till the end of the season. There's no doubt about that. They might be a bit like a duck. You see him calm, sitting on top of the water, underneath the water. Those legs are spinning pretty quickly. There's no doubt about that. I just wonder, in relation to Damien Hardwick last year, we were sort of saying similar things, and what they did is reassess the recruiting department, flushed out the assistant coaches. I just wonder whether Collingwood would also consider that route.
Your boss, Robbo, last week had a little bit of a go at me about about me saying, and once again, taken out of context of all people, but what I said last week is, if you can't re-sign Nathan Buckley for 1 year, if you were to re-sign him, you've got to re-sign him for three. You've got to take the pressure off him and give him a good go at it. So it's either not at all or 3 years. It's not a 1 year and have the noose hanging around his neck for another whole year. So that's not going to happen, Jason.
Hold that thought, boys. We'll continue the Pies discussion on the other side of the break. We'll also speak to Seb Ross from the St Kilda Football Club.
We might get the iPad and just see what sort of suggestions our Triple M family, Global, have come through with helping Jay-Z to shed 10 and help him get his abs into some sort of shape, because he's got a four-week ab off with Duck in a month's time.
Duck's not the man I'll be taking on in an ab off either. Hey, what about the Saints? Last night, absolutely unbelievable first half. They were kicking goals left, right and centre. 14-8-1-4 at halftime. They ran out winners in the end in Maddie's match. Very, very convincingly by 67 points. And joining us on the line, couldn't be happy to speak to this bloke after 33 touches and a goal and 151 ranking points, Seb Ross. G'day, Seb.
G'day, guys.
Hey, mate, we all strive for perfection. You boys nearly achieved it in the first half. Congratulations to you and your team.
Yeah, thank you. I guess it was pretty surprising how we went in the first half. We felt like our 3 weeks previous to that, we'd strung a few wins together, but hadn't quite put together a full performance like that. So that was really pleasing.
Hey, Seb, we called the game last night. That's as good a opening half of footy that we've seen throughout the course of the year. We actually said during the halftime break, your performance was so good that you were doing so many things incredibly well. Would it have been better just to have a 7 minute break, like quarter time, as opposed to a 20 minute break at halftime?
Yeah, well, it was a strange one, really. I think the coaches might have been scratching their heads a bit with how and what type of message they wanted to get to us guys at halftime, because they didn't really know what to say to us. But most of the messaging was that it was purely on the back of our defense and pressure, which was giving us scoring opportunities. Because I don't know how many stoppages there were in the first half, but I would have said there was only about four or five. So all our scoring was coming off turnover.
And how did you play Dusty? What was the team's focus on Dusty Martin, Sip?
Yeah, well, we had a few matchups for him in the midfield, but I guess it probably played into our hands a little bit with there being not too many stoppages. So him and Cotchin weren't able to be too damaging around that area of the game. So, and because we're playing so well and we had the ball in our hands a lot of the time, it sort of made it harder for those guys.
Leads into the next question about the performance of Billy Longa, who I thought was outstanding last night.
Yeah, he Big Billy, he's a big aggressive bloke, and that's what we love about him. We love playing with him. And I suppose he started to clunk a few marks the past couple of weeks, which is a real area of his game that he really wants to develop. And it was good to see him get on the end of one and put it straight through the big sticks last night.
He has been probably one of the big improvers over the last 6 weeks, but I think didn't he pull up sore in the end, Seb? Didn't he have some hamstring tightness at the end of the game? And I think that really opens the door for Tommy Hickey next week, big Friday night game against Essendon.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what the diagnosis is with Bill. I know he had that strapping on, so I'm not sure if it's his hamstring or a quad cork or what it is, but being a six-day break, I'm sure the club will be, they'll take the full precaution with it, and it might be a chance for Hick, I'm not sure.
Hey, what about your own form, Seb? You've had a wonderful year so far. I think you're averaging 30 possessions per game. What's been the thing that's allowed you to elevate your game to a new level this year and maintain it week by week?
Well, I think on the back of my 2016 season, where I was able to have a really, really big pre-season and really build my tank, and then obviously gain some confidence out of that year, and then just another season with guys like Jack Steve and getting Kobe Steele and Kobe Stephen across, those guys have made it a lot easier for us guys, and just another pre-season with those guys where you learn more about how they play. So I think we've had a few years now to really gel and learn how each other play, which has made it easier for me.
Hey, well done, Seb, on yesterday and your year so far. You're having a terrific year. But I want to talk to you, but now all of a sudden the expectation will be, well it'll grow. And Friday night footy, you're on Broadway this Friday night against a very slick Bombers outfit. Do you give yourself time today to think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll review the Richmond game tomorrow, so it should be pretty positive. Meeting day, but then we were able to watch Essendon be in the earlier game yesterday. They were pretty slick against Collingwood, so we'll be wary of their runners. They've got a quick back line and a quick forward line, but as you said, the expectation will grow, but it's one of those years where you literally only have to worry about how you're going and worry about what you want to put out on the park, because if you spend your time worrying about how other teams are going, that's where you can fall away.
We're speaking to Seb Rossman, St Kilda Football Club. Seb, I grew up in Traralgon, as did your man Tim Membry, and he's the type of bloke when I was waiting at the bus stop. A lot of blokes like this in Traralgon, looking like that, that had come past and probably steal your milk bottles and your snakes and push you onto the bus and off you go. Is he a tough unit away from the football ground?
He's probably one of the kindest fellas on our list, I'd say. I think the tattoos are a bit of a mirage. He's a great fella, Timmy. He's one of my good mates. Obviously, it was good to see him kick 5 goals straight last night.
But the issue now, I guess, with Timmy Membry now facing a suspension, Howie, is it opens a door for Paddy McCartan, who failed his last concussion test. How's he been travelling? I understand he trained throughout the week. Do you think he'll be ready to step up at the weekend, Seb?
Yeah, well, that's purely dependent on what happens with Tim. But Paddy's had 2 weeks off, so it's probably been a good opportunity for him to get his body fresh and actually have a decent sort of mini pre-season in the middle of the season to really get himself up and firing for the back end of the season. So we'll wait and see what happens with him. I'm not sure what will happen, but
it's probably
a pretty good spot to be in if he goes out and have number one draft pick come in.
Hey, when you knock up another 30, you got the review tomorrow morning. Do you sort of rock in there with the feathers out, the chest is out, and sit front and centre, or are you just sort of hide in the back because you're getting used to this sort of stuff, Seb?
No, never do that. I suppose there's always plenty of learnings. The coach is always pretty good at keeping your feet on the ground. If they think you're getting a bit too far ahead of yourself, they'll quickly rein you in.
Which is the peacock that likes to sit up the front and just make it all about him if he's off the back of a good game?
There's not too many. I'd have to say, I won't name names, but it's usually the guys up forward once they get their tails up.
One of those men, Nick Rewalt, and we absolutely love the captain. He was fantastic last night, playing on one of the best defenders.
Ex-captain.
Ex-captain. Up against Alex Rance. Thanks, Duck. How are you seeing his form at the moment? Clearly, the club is making a big decision on his future at the end of the year. Would it be hard, clearly, for the playing group to say goodbye to him at the end of the year, and how much would you want to see him play on into 2018?
Well, yeah, it would be hard to say goodbye to him. He's been here my whole career. He's been at the club for 16 or 17 years, so he's spent over half his lifetime at the St Kilda Footy Club, but I'm sure Rui's sole focus is on getting this team back where it needs to be, which is playing finals footy. So I know that's what him and Joey are purely focused on and are doing a really great job in driving the group and heading towards that.
And lastly, I think from me, mate, you're obviously Job Watson's cousin and a great friend of his. One of the great mysteries in footy, fellas, is where is Job Watson's Brownlow from 2012? Seb, have you seen it? Have you got any idea? Is it at AFL House? Is it Job's house in a sock drawer? Where is his Brownlow, mate?
I actually have no idea. I do know they're at Nan and Pa's house. They've got one sitting on the wall. So I'm not sure if that's a replica or the real one. Oh, I've got
Seb, just before I let you go, mate, big win last night. What's on for the rest of the afternoon for you?
We're currently at a players' sponsors luncheon down at Sandringham, 12:30 till 2. And then the Sandy boys kick off their game against Footscray at 2 o'clock, so we'll stick around and watch those guys.
So do you sit on the hill and have a couple of cans and relax after 30-odd touches or not?
No, we've got a six-day break, so can't tip any in.
All right, good on you, Seb. Appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Seb Ross from the St Kilda Football Club. We'll speak about the Tigers later in
having
the show.
Having a great year.
I've got a funny story about Seb Ross. Actually, maybe not that funny. We'll see how it
goes. We'll be the judge of that. Roll it out. We'll tell you.
So when I was doing some coverage on him during his draft year, I think at some point I gave a semi-critical comment about his speed. You know, I said sort of something along the lines of, you know, not the quickest midfielder, but an accumulator, and blah, blah, blah. And one of his friends tweeted me back and was like, "Oi, neck up, mate. You got such and such in the repeat sprint test."
Really?
And every time I see Seb Ross, I feel apologetic for... back in the day in his draft
his mate stood up for him
for saying he might have been a bit slow, but it was funny as bloke. Absolutely cracked me.
And a big win yesterday afternoon by the Essendon Football Club and one of their stars, Brendan Goddard, joins us on the line now. Always nice to speak to this man. BJ, how are you today?
Good, Howie. How are you, mate?
Hey, congratulations on the win. It was a really impressive performance by the footy club yesterday after a couple of tough weeks. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it was a good response, but probably something that you'd expect after a really poor performance last week and then obviously a disappointing result against Sydney. So, yeah, it was pleasing to respond in the way we did.
Hey, BJ, it's such a serious game, football, and I noticed Izzy Smith, Isaac Smith, said in the paper on the day of his 150th that he still tries to go out there and really enjoy football. But how tough is it for a bloke like you that's played a lot of footy? You get rolled by Brisbane. You know what's going to be said in the papers the next day. How do you go spring out of bed on a Monday morning? How do you deal with it all?
I guess having played a while, the reality is that you get kicked in the guts from time to time. And as you mentioned, it's a pretty tough game. It's ruthless. So that's something I've come accustomed to. But it is part and parcel of the industry we work in. So it's a matter of just moving on and trying, particularly the two losses the last 2 weeks, is assess the game and take what you really need out of them, learn from it, and then move on as quick as possible and focus on the following week.
So, mate, have you got certain tricks and triggers to make sure what happens at your job doesn't then go on and affect the rest of your life and you come home and want to kick the cat, etc.?
I might get my wife to answer that.
Right. Because it must be difficult to take that stuff home.
It definitely is. I think now, with myself, I talk from a personal point of view, having a child and being married now puts a different perspective on life, so it's a little bit easier to escape from that football side of things and not bring it home. But probably as a younger kid, and looking back, it was pretty hard to let it go and not bring it home because you're so entrenched in it, you don't have too many other distractions going on, particularly when you get home and you're probably living with a teammate, and so they're riding the ups and downs with you. So being an older player, it probably is a little bit easier now, the situation and the lessons I've learned along the way.
Hey BJ, you've played in grand finals and obviously with a very, very good team, probably unlucky not to have won a premiership or maybe even two. How exciting is it playing with a team now? And I must admit, I just love watching the Bombers play, but the style of play that and how you go about it, how exciting is that to be a part of? Because you just you take the game on. I love it.
Yeah, we do. I think that's the modern game too. I think you see more and more teams trying to play that way. But it is exciting, particularly coming off the last couple of years we've had. So it's pleasing we can play our best footy gets the results that we want. But the challenge with us, I think everyone's seen this year, is about the consistency, and that's what separates good and great teams. So we're still trying to find that consistency which everyone craves, which would then take us to the next level. But there's no doubt that our good footy is pretty good, but we are trying to narrow that gap and find that consistency with our best and worst footy.
BJ, sorry, it was a strong response to a disappointing last quarter the week before. Collingwood absolutely butchered the footy yesterday, especially coming out of that back half. How did you plan or prepare to pick that off? Because you were so clinical on the turnover in that transition game.
There's nothing we spoke about specifically in terms of Collingwood. We spoke, obviously, like most weeks, focusing on forward pressure and pressuring that ball out of defence and forward half turnovers. And then once we do cause a turnover, like most teams trying to punish that and go really quick, because generally when you do cause a quick turnover or through the middle of the field, you do have space going forward or there are players out of position. So as I said, it's not something we really focus on with Collingwood because we focus on it every week. So we work really hard in the last three or four weeks to cause more forward half turnovers will help us on the scoring end.
Out of something bad, something good has happened from last year. I mean, McDonald, Tip and Woody and Fantasia, who I reckon both, if all things being even, probably wouldn't have got a game last year. But given that they did because of what happened, and now seeing what they're doing now is quite unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. As you spoke about Duck, the silver lining and everything last year, and Razzle, or the Razzle Dazzle, as he calls himself, has been a big beneficiary of that, and obviously Waller. So, and we forget those guys are still really young too. So, and Waller might be a little bit older, I think, but in terms of games played and experience, so they're still trying to find that consistency in their footy and their effort, and it's the first time besides DiRazio last year, probably, that they'll get through a whole season and play a full season. So that's only going to benefit them again going into next year. But there's a couple other guys that you haven't mentioned that have benefited from the situation.
I tell you, another man who has, BJ, and that's the form of James Kelly. I mean, this guy retired and he's been brought into the club and he continued on. His form again's outstanding.
It is. It's probably not underrated in terms of our footy club, so we know what Kel brings every week, and his effort, experience, and guys have talked about his ability to play a leadership role and a mentoring role, particularly with a few of the younger backs. So there's more than just what he offers on a weekend. To see him play an outstanding game on the weekend didn't really surprise any of us, to be honest.
Stoked to be speaking to Brendan Goddard from the Essendon Football Club on the Sunday, Rudd.
BJ, another 23 disposals for you yesterday, having a very good season. Is it right, your contract, you've got it's around 16 now, but have you got a 16 or a 17-game trigger? So if you've got to play one or two more, and that automatically guarantees a contract for next year?
Or
have you passed that already?
No, I think it's 17. So I said I keep getting thrown out by the bye. So I think it's 17, I think, but I don't know. We're up to round 17, but I've really only played 16 games. Is that right? I don't even know what round it is.
It's round 16,
Yeah, 16. So I've only played 15 because we had the bye. But I think I'll fall across the line. Well, not so much fall, but I'll get across the line in the next couple of weeks. And then, as you said, I think that triggers after 17 games a new contract. And probably doesn't, in today's world, it probably doesn't guarantee me a spot next year because of some of the things I've seen happen to other footy clubs, but I'm pretty confident myself and the club are all on the same page.
And that's an interesting situation when you get to this point in your career and you aren't guaranteed a game. I mean, Geelong went through a similar situation with Jimmy Bartel, I think.
Yeah,
what was it last year? Yeah, would you still be happy to play if Wisher said to you, look, mate, there could, I mean, you're in very good form, but if he said, look, there could be some VFL games, would you still be happy to play under those circumstances?
I probably can't answer that because I haven't thought about it because, based on my current form and the way I'm feeling, I don't see myself playing much VFL footy next year. So I'd like to say I hope not, but if that's the case and their discussions that had at the end of the year, I'll probably address that if it did come up.
BJ, your chances of playing in the VFL is like Jay-Z going to Rockville or the Trove Valley Express. Neither of these are going to happen. We appreciate your time, brother. May you have a wonderful end of the season. Hopefully play some finals for the Bombers. Good on you, mate.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Brendan Goddard from the Essendon Football Club. We talked about how good Essendon were. We already spoke to Seb Ross from the Saints. We haven't had a chance to talk about the Tigers yet. And the longer I work in this caper, the more I realise how reactive we are week to week. Surely it was just a bad night for the Tigers, Jay-Z, and on we go.
Well, Kane Corns didn't think so. A former 2004 Premiership teammate of Damien Hardwick tweeted basically last night that the Tigers were complacent, had got ahead of themselves, and were basically guilty of drinking their own bathwater. And he addressed that on the Sunday Footy Show this morning because Damien Hardwick last night had a crack at Kane Corns and was really pretty brutal in terms of his spray of his former Premiership teammate.
Oh, seriously, I'd love to see Kane. I'd love to. I'd really love to see Kane.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong. That's his job.
Sure.
He's there to write shit comments.
Okay. But do you give that any credibility, that?
Please.
Gee, it's the first time I've heard that. Crikey.
Strong.
Very strong. Unusual, actually, to wade into that in a press conference, to be honest.
Not often coaches swear in press conferences. I think that's probably lowering his colours a little. And Kane Corns on the Sunday Footy Show, Channel 9, had his go this morning.
The fact that I said they got ahead of themselves, I can't think of another explanation, because coming to that game, everyone thought the Tigers were going to win. Last week after the game, Damien Hardwick said that the best is yet to come for the Tigers, and then they served that up. And they're not the first side to get ahead of themselves. Lots of sides have done it before. They'll do it again. And if you come in just a fraction off, thinking it's going to happen, listening to your coach last week saying the best is yet to come, and then you serve up 43 inside 50s against in a half a footy, what does that say about your club?
Is it a fair call, Dak?
Well, I think it is, and he's entitled to that opinion, clearly, and it's a strong opinion. And look, it's a bad night for me. Bad night, and I think a bad night for Damien Hardwick, and I'm a Damien Hardwick fan, but to react to, you know, a person's comment about their opinion is just probably, he's probably focus has gone off what he should be focusing on. Yeah.
They got blindsided last night from the opening bounce. They just got sat on their backside, weren't able to recover. The influence of Dustin Martin and Trent Cotchin was nullified. Everything that St Kilda tried came off. It was one of those rare nights. Even every time they made a mistake, the ball would bounce back into the arms or they'd get it back. You have those rare nights.
And it's the only really bad game for the year.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. They haven't had a really bad game. That's the only one for the year. And to be honest with you, it's probably come at a really good time for them, because it is a wake-up call for them. And they have been travelling quite nicely, even though they've lost those close games. They've been going along really nicely.
It's a really good point that Duck makes. To put it into perspective, it's their worst performance of the year, and we're almost at the end of round 16. I'm with Duck. You know, we said it last night during the call that, you know, the review will be short, it'll be harsh, but then you move on. You put that behind you. Know, okay, we've got to focus again. We've got a big game coming up this weekend. Let's learn from what we had to take out of the game last night, so we're better prepared not to make those same mistakes.
You called the game last night on Triple M Footy with the great Barry Denner and Daisy Pearce. Yep. Magnificent as always. Brutal game that we live in. What are opposition coaches going to take out of last night that the Saints did to try and chop up the Tigers?
Well, I think the role of Kobe Stevens, who was outstanding last night, on Dustin Martin. I think Dustin Martin to halftime had 11 disposals. He's in rare form, Dustin Martin. So they nullified the influence of Dustin Martin. Billy Longa gave great service around the midfield for the Saints. And look, momentum's such a big advantage in the modern game of footy. If you can get off to a good start, Jay-Z, you can get the game played on your terms. And I think when you've got momentum, St Kilda played like like the Brisbane Lions and the Geelong Footy Club and Hawthorn. When you have a team and there's blood on the canvas, they go for the throat.
Yep.
St Kilda went for the throat, which is the reason why I asked the question to Seb Ross before. Halftime seemed to come at the worst time for the Saints, because they were annihilating St Kilda. 20-minute break. Richmond start to get a bit of respect back in the second half. But they played as good as 60 minutes of football that I've seen. And I think what that says to other coaches, get the game on our terms and nullify the influence of the Cotchin and Martin influence in a game, and they're on the back foot.
On the boundary, the superstar with the coach of the Carlton Football Club is Sarah Fayol. G'day, Sarah.
Thanks, Howie and Team Brendan. Thanks for your time and all the best for today. It's a really great opportunity that presents today against the Ds, but you want to get off to a better start than you did last week against the Crows.
Yeah, we know in footy you only have to see the results the last few weeks and overnight that if you don't start well, it can hurt you. So it's critical we get on the front foot.
I've just enjoyed watching a few of your younger players, including Jack Silvani, having a bit of a kick, and he was doing a bit of an animated celebration on the boundary line at the 50-metre mark. How important is it to you in a long, grueling footy season that your guys have fun? I know that it's part of the culture you're trying to build at the club.
Yeah, AFL can be very quickly sanitised, and you can't show your personality, and if you smile that you're not focused. And no, we're a club where we want to be able to show personality, but also be really humble at the appropriate time.
Hey, Brendan, I think myself, along with a lot of people, are infatuated with the reincarnation of Liam Jones. Are you surprised with what he's been able to do since he's come back into the lineup?
I wasn't surprised that he'd come in and perform and play a role, but I wasn't, I must admit, like most of us, I didn't think he'd take it to the level he has in the last month. He's knocked over some quality forwards and, probably playing above what we thought he would. We knew he'd play at a solid standard, but he's been elite in the last month.
So who's responsible for the decision to roll him back into defence in the VFL and allow him to go and do what he's now doing at the AFL level?
Well, it grows. There's always multiple people that make those sort of decisions.
Claim it, Bolt.
I'd like to claim all the success, but we know in this game it's definitely not just about the coach. The role's too big. But I think we've got to give a lot of credit to the coaches in Dale Amos and Josh Fraser. Fraser, who worked with him at VFL level. Dale, since he's been in the AFL. And even Liam himself, because it's a huge shift in mindset to go from one end all your career to down the other, embrace it and have a red hot go at it. But he's had a real growth mindset to it, and let's hope it continues today.
What about Bryce Gibbs? For me, he's been one of the stories of the season. Obviously, the trade talk last year, and now, you know, his future uncertain to some extent, or so it seems. How have you rated his season and just the way he's been able to compartmentalise?
Yeah, I think it's first of all a credit to his maturity and professionalism as a footballer or a professional athlete, because he hasn't been sidetracked by that. I also should preface it by saying he's a Carlton person. I love the Carlton Footy Club. It was nearly got a ball on the back of the head there. but yeah, he's a true professional, and it wasn't the Carlton Football Club. There wasn't an issue there as to why he requested a trade. It was all based in and around what's best for his family. But yeah, just absolute maturity, played at a high level for most of the year, and hopefully he produces that again today.
So has he said to you, Bolts, that won't be an issue again at the end of the season, or will you have a talk to him about all that again at the end of the year?
We haven't approached it at all at this stage. All I know is his investment in our footy club's been as good as anyone I've ever seen. You can't play at that level unless you're totally invested, and we'll see how it unfolds at the end of the year.
Hey Brendan, has this group surprised you at all? Are they ahead of where you thought they'd be at this time of development?
Wayne, we didn't actually put win losses, and I know people go, it's an industry which is totally defined by wins and losses. We're trying to win every game that we possibly can, but we didn't want to let that be the thing that makes us or breaks us this year. We wanted to have a mindset where we grow game by game and each player grows, and I think what surprised me is their ability to stay in games for so long with their age profile. I think that's the main thing. We've been, all bar the Port game, really competitive, and I think in four or five of our losses weren't in front in the last quarter. So for a young group, to be able to stay in the game that long is what's been the biggest positive.
But you go in today, and having a couple of older Carlton fans who are friends of mine, they go in today feeling like you can genuinely win today's game.
Yeah, and that's an approach and a mindset that we've focused on, because you know, development's going to take some time, but we're trying to fast track it, and it can be dangerous to say, "Oh, next year we'll be a bit better." And we've got to be trying to do it now, because that mindset's what fast tracks footy clubs.
We're speaking to the Carlton coach Brendan Bolton on the Sunday Rub. Here's Wayne Swoss.
Geez, Matty Cruz's year's been pretty impressive too, Bolts.
Yeah, it'd have to be a sneaky one for all Australian, I would have thought. He played really well against a quality ruckman last week, and doesn't become a bigger challenge. They have good tussles, Cruz and Gorn. So hopefully, again, we come out in front on that one today.
Bolts, tell us about the AFL coaches' dinner, mate. What bottle of red did you bring? How much involvement did you have? Was there any sort of gags kicking around? Was it a feisty night? Was it an interesting night? What was your take on it?
No, I think it was really good open dialogue. I snuck a little cheap Tasmanian wine in there. I was disappointed at the end. I had a giggle the other day. I was being a country boy. I was looking for a sticky date pudding and a apple crumble at the end, but ended up with a bit of cheese. So I stirred kill up about that.
Who was best on, and what did you most want to talk about that night?
I wanted to talk a little bit about the JLT series, because you know, it's all about preparation for round one, and all teams are in totally different spaces leading into round one, and that's what they're trying to do, is be ready. And I like the idea of having nice evenly spaced games, not 6 day breaks, maybe two JLTs and the last one being on an AFL venue. So that was on my agenda, and I'd like some flexibility in and around that, but we'll see how that unfolds.
Coach, just before we let you go, as the siren goes in the background, I just need you to lend me your moral compass for a moment. The beautiful Mrs. Howie was forever infatuated with Stephen Silvani. Still to this day, if he walked in the door, she'd leave me, coach. Now I find that she's infatuated with his son. I tell her this is inappropriate. As a 39-year-old woman, do you agree with me?
You know what makes me giggle is young Jack still walks into rooms and he's turning heads, and He's just got it off the old block, hasn't he?
If Mrs. Howie is listening, can you just tell her that it's not appropriate, though, Coach? That's what I'm looking for, some reinforcement from you.
I think Joe might give us a clip talking about the sun that way. So
you might be right. Hey, yeah. Coach, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you, the Blues, and the entire Silvani clan.
Thanks for having me on, gents. Cheers.
Great to speak to the coach.
You're just not comfortable because as soon as you asked the question, he just folded his arms, just stiffened right up.
I put her on the phone to Sauce one day and pretty much she asked him to come round for dinner, which I think was completely inappropriate. But now she's a 39-year-old woman and she's delightful, but she's now fascinated with a 20-year-old man and I think it's inappropriate. What do you think, Doug?
Oh, boy.
Inappropriate?
I'd be worried if I were you.
I am a little bit worried.
Doug, can I ask you? You asked an interesting question then of Bolts and where they're at. Do you feel that they are ahead of the curve?
Yeah,
a big tick for them?
I think they're a little bit ahead of... You know, Brendan answered it, and he doesn't think they're necessarily ahead, but certainly trying to fast track. I didn't expect them to be as good as what they are at this time, Swatter. I didn't think they'd win as many games as they already have, and I think they're quite capable of winning this game today. So, to answer your question, they are ahead of where I thought they'd be.
Shows the value of. Oh, look, it's a
well structured, well coached team.
Yeah, you've got to have the right coach, the right group. But and it's not a perfect science, but the selection decisions with regards to the young talent that they brought in, they've had most of their young kids play, albeit a couple with some serious injuries. But some of the kids that they've got coming through have been really impressive.
Well, who do you like most, Schwatter?
The Kerner? Guy I love the most. Oh, look, I love Charlie Kerner.
Yeah.
I love
Petrovsky Seton.
Yes, thank you. I like Fisher. There's kids that are popping up all the time, and I reckon the game has changed, Duck. Is perhaps 4 or 5 years ago, you'd have to be in a good form period in the VFL. You'd have to have 5 or 6 good games before you get a go.
Yep.
AFL coaches throw kids in. They expose the kids as soon as they possibly can. Kids love that. But the guy I love the most is the reincarnated Liam Jones. I still cannot believe that he's playing the football he's now playing.
Good considering, on him.
Absolutely. He was almost out of the system.
He's a 10.5 beeper.
Really?
10.5.
I think you said last week you could do that walking backwards.
Yeah, well, that's...
10.5.
I think he did 10.5 in the beep test, which is not great, as we know. But I'm with you. I'm so... You know, you just rap for a guy that his career, let's be honest, at the end of this year was probably over, and now he's resurrected it and he's in great form. I love that. I love the fact that he's been able to do that. Good on him.
I thought at the end of last year that they were trying to pay him out and cut him loose. I thought they were the talks that were happening between him and his management, basically to sort of chip off son. But he did stay on the list. Duck, how long before a young bloke played well before you actually started talking to him? Like, you know, how long do you have to play well in the VFL? Or how many senior games before you gave him any love at the Kangaroos?
I was a man that liked to get to know the young boys fairly quickly, but it wasn't on the football field or at training. It was generally over a Chardonnay or a Redback Brewery. Yes, a Redback Brewery.
Ab off in a month. I reckon we could have a beep off, you and Liam Jones. You'd almost get 10-2, reckon?
I think my best ever result is 13.5.
There you go. You'd know it.
How many beeps did you miss?
That was back in the day when I was actually exercising.
Back to school quiz, not too far away. Jack Watson joins at 2:30. I might have miscalculated bringing up Mrs. Howie on the radio. I thought she's a million to one to be listening. From the text message I got, she was, and there ain't no roast dinner on tonight, brother. Just talking about the best teams we'd seen. Duck, you were saying that you thought Brisbane
would have dominated
the Hawthorn three-peat team.
I think I just think that their team is the best team that I've seen while I've been watching footy.
And then we were throwing up the Hawks. So you had your Voss and your Lappin and your Lukey Power in there, Akamatis, and your Acker. Up forward, you had Lynch, Brown, and down back
in Michael Lepich.
And then I was throwing to the Hawks into you of up forward with Dunstall and Brereton down back.
Langford,
Gary Ayres, and in the centre, blokes like Johnny Platton, Dipper as well. It's a wonderful discussion.
Brothers.
It's hard to compare eras, but by gee, we've been lucky to see some absolutely wonderful teams. We were talking about Michael Tuck, and then you brought up, you had a little spell on him.
I had a little strut about me back in the early days at North, and we played a game against him a little bit.
He had good hair.
What I'd give for some of that back now, Doug. But it was one of my early games, and John Kennedy was coaching, and I started on the bench, which was a bit of a surprise. And he said to me, he goes, "Now listen, you're going to go and play on Michael Tuck. Now you're half forward, he's half back, and he's probably 36 by this age." And he goes, "I just want you to pay some respect to him. Maybe old, but he still knows how to play the game." 15 minutes later, I'm off the ground. Tucky's had 16 touches. Kanga came down at quarter time. He goes, "You didn't listen to me, did you?" I said, "No, sorry."
What did he do? Just run?
He ran. He never stopped. There was nothing of Michael Tuck, but he just knew how to find the footy.
Good work, Swatter. Let's get into the news, Jay-Z. What's at the top of your radar?
Yeah, Nathan Buckley's career or situation is going to continue to dominate the agenda. We touched off this off the top of the show. Let's hear from Nathan Buckley and what he said last night, in particular about how his situation may be affecting the players.
It feels like we've reached a bit of a tipping point, to be honest, with the players. You know, they're just that effort we haven't seen all year. I thought it was the first time that I'd seen, you know, probably the players look like they'd lost a bit of hope.
Wayne Schwoss, do you...
Can I just interrupt for one second?
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't ask Wayne Carey. Because last week, he was a bit sidetracked with the boxing. There's a TV out the back of the box. Chuck, I'll put you on the spot. Just tell everyone what you're watching at the moment.
Cowboy and Indians.
Hiawatha's on in the background, and Ducky's fully engaged. Sorry,
Nothing
Clark.
Nothing better than a good old Western. If you're not listening to us on radio, put Channel 9. There's a Western on.
She's a 1945 job. Sorry.
Up until now, Bucks is saying that it's all external noise, and we don't listen to any of it, and it doesn't mean anything. But last night he said that they're all human, and clearly the whole circus around his future is impacting the players, and to a lesser extent, Adam Treloar has just agreed to that this morning on Fox Footy. Do you think the swirling uncertainty would be playing a factor in the back of players' minds?
Potentially.
And affecting them out on the field?
Potentially, because in my last year at Sydney, we had the issues with Richard Collis, Rodney Eade, and it became a really toxic environment. I'm not suggesting it's toxic at Collingwood, but if the players really love Nathan as a coach, then they potentially could be affected to some regard. The older guys might manage it. The younger guys might be uncertain, because then you start to think about, well, if the club moves on Nathan, what happens to my career? If that's the case, and I'll take Bucks on his word, if that's the case and he believes that now the players are starting to be impacted, then the decision may be brought forward. The club needs to make a decision at some stage, maybe sooner than later.
Well, let's have a listen, Adam Treloar, what he said on Fox Footy this morning.
You had a quieter game.
Yeah, it was horrendous.
You weren't horrendous.
You're putting it in a nice way there, Nez. I was non-existent out there, but anyway.
Are you 100%, Ads? Because you haven't been training fully, and we know you missed one already this year. Are you fit?
I am. And it's a long season, obviously, and a lot of guys go through niggles and I suppose, injuries there. And you know, if you're capable of playing, and there's absolutely no reason why, there was no reason why I shouldn't have been playing yesterday. I was fine when I was out there. I just played absolutely horrendously.
Pretty solid review of his own game. He certainly didn't have one of his best ones, and turned the ball over a couple of times. Now, we mentioned sort of Brad Scott, a few of the coaches who potentially might be on Collingwood's radar for next season. And Brad Scott, I understand, is a person of significant interest. And you guys being North Melbourne greats. Now, as I understand it, Brad Scott always sort of thought that 10 years at one club might be sort of enough, and he's sort of approaching that time at the moment. He's known to Collingwood, worked there as an assistant coach. His future seemed a little bit uncertain at Arden Street at the moment for me. How much would he appeal to you, Duck?
No idea whether, as far as I know, you only go off what I've listened to him on footy shows in the last month or so, and he talks about the fact that he wants to follow through with sort of, I guess, rebuilding the Kangaroos. I think he made some really tough decisions last year. I reckon they've got some good young talent at the club that I didn't realise, Swatter.
Yep.
And they're starting to show. They're actually back in the game just around the grounds. Kangaroos 33, Fremantle 45. Actually, Fremantle 51 now to 33. So I reckon he's got a bit to work with, and I reckon he wants to see that through. So I actually think that Brad Scott is a good coach, and I'd like to see him stay the Kangaroos, and I think he will.
All this talk about what's happened with some of the players and their pressure they're under and the scrutiny in the modern AFL world, Jay-Z, not particularly in relation directly to Nathan Buckley. I'm a bit of a soft touch, but sometimes I put myself in these blokes' shoes. You imagine if your job at the Herald Sun was being questioned day in, day out, and once a week you had to go and face your peers and they ask you questions about your job. I actually don't know how these blokes do it. They must just be so mentally strong and resilient to put up with that. It's easy to whack a bloke in the paper, but imagine if you were yourself in that position.
Before they go for the job. They know that that's the caper.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a difference between knowing it's a caper.
No, no. They're also played the game at the highest level and been involved in footy for a long time. So they know what to expect.
Well, okay.
It's not a surprise that Bucks knows the industry.
There's only two coaches. There's only two types of coaches.
Two types of coaches.
Those that have been sacked and those that will be sacked.
Yeah, but exactly the majority of us in normal life haven't been on the front page and the back page of the paper having your job question day in, day out.
So those people that are making harsh calls on people and criticising them consistently need to just take a step back every now and again and take a deep breath and go, okay, let's balance this.
Well, and I understand it's part of the role for media or whoever to comment on this, but sometimes I just put myself in that person's shoes and think, geez, imagine if every day I turned up to Channel 10, which has probably happened in the past, people questioning whether I should be there.
But if you were to if you knew you were getting $750,000 a year, would you put up with that?
I'd ask for a touch more. But
certainly a seven figures. Hey, MRP, just a quick update here. Levi Greenwood, he's high hit on Merritt. It's an interesting one for the MRP because he made contact with his shoulder first and then it slipped up. So
Duck saw it here yesterday.
Yeah, and so I think upon review, it mightn't be as savage as what me may have first thought.
He'll have a holiday.
Yeah, it might be just the 1 week. Timmy Membry, we discussed earlier on Grimes. He leapt up into him, made high contact. Grimes said it was a very sore boy out to the game.
Didn't take any further part either.
Yeah, had a cheek injury there. Looking at 2 to 3 weeks for Timmy Membry. And Trent Cotchin, he's given a tummy tap to an opponent. We saw the jumper punch from a month or two ago, so he's looking at fine. And Jake Lever, if Josh Kelly's the most sought-after young player in the competition, this man, Adelaide defender Jake Lever, is probably close behind him. Western Bulldogs, Melbourne, I believe Collingwood's got an interest at about $800,000 or $900,000 a year. And this will be a long-term deal. If he does leave the Crows, this will be a 6-7-8-year deal. So we hear a lot about Josh Kelly. Well, we're about to hear a lot more about Jake Lever over the next month.
This is Brian's man. Whatever he gets, he should put an extra $200 into the pocket with Brian, because every time I hear a Crows game or hear Brian on any form of media, he's talking this man up. Jeez, he's impressive the other night, though. You were at that game.
Yeah, he's very good. He was very, very good. And, you know, when you watch him firsthand, he's got the ability to play small or tall, and he marks the footy swatter.
Yeah.
He marks the footy. He backs himself, and they're a big commodity.
He'd be a great acquisition for any club. And close to his family, obviously. Big L, who popped himself into the box a little while ago. He'd love to see his boy back, but that's the challenge the Crows have got.
You wouldn't have been listening to the rub yesterday, but BT and I were in Adelaide, obviously, on Friday night, and just walking back through the foyer swatter to go to our room. And BT's obviously friends with,
Big L.
Yeah, Big L. And he was there, and I was introduced and just made the observation that one of the key men at the Bulldogs, recruiting men, in Jace McCartney.
Mm.
Well,
list manager.
Yeah, well, they already knew one another. And knew one another really, really well.
And Brian and Duck were talking like this a lot around the story.
So that was interesting, Swatter.
Would he be a good fit at the Dogs?
He'd be a good fit anywhere, mate.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Hawks and the GWS had a draw. The GWS two draws in the space of 2 weeks. Jay-Z, this is what the Hawthorn coach Alistair Clarkson had to say about the really close finish at the end.
Oh, the old Maxwell Smart, isn't it? Missed by that much.
Did you get the final summary?
But there's a fair amount of commotion going in the box. So that's I think the decision's right. From what I understand, I think the siren went just before we were able to knock the ball through.
I think everyone's in agreement with that in the end. As you said, it was very confusing at the end. By gee, the Hawks have had a good 4 or 5 weeks, Clarkie.
Well, we thought they were dead and buried, really, earlier in the season. We were talking about they had no young talent. You know, is Clarko going elsewhere, etc. But their past month has been fantastic. And here, back on their home track down in Tassie, they take on the premiership favourites. And I thought controlled the fair bulk of this match. And really, they look rejuvenated. You know, I mean, this it just looks like they got the young talent. The rebuild is cut short. Tommy Mitchell's a recruit of the year, having a fantastic season. We're not talking about Jager O'Meara being on the sidelines. We're talking about this game plan and the synergy and the talent that's there. And it's, it seems like a very quick resurrection at Hawthorn.
I know it's a big what if, but imagine if O'Meara was fit and healthy. I mean, a lot of talk about, and you're right, Mitchell's year has just been astonishing, really.
Yeah. And only
he's just a ball magnet.
And only cost one first-round draft pick. So you look at these prime midfielders, like Adam Treloar cost Collingwood two first-round draft picks. I sort of I think back to the Tom Mitchell trade situation, and it was always really Hawthorn going after him. And I just sort of wonder whether there should have been more clubs go for this guy, because he's had an absolutely outstanding season. Recruit of the year, as I said, like whether it was Collingwood or another club, I just wonder where there should have been more demand for his services last year.
Well, it's a good thing for Hawthorn that there wasn't so much competition. They managed to get their man. They got Jager O'Meara. Let's hope that he comes back. I think one of the other things that I've really enjoyed about Hawthorn is Sicily's move to halfback.
Yep.
The development improvement of Howe, Brand, you know, some of the kids,
Burton,
some of the kids that they've actually introduced, and they've probably been forced to introduce, but also some injuries to key players like Puopolo inside forward 50, Josh Gibson in defensive 50, has given opportunities.
Cyril?
Yep, of course, has given opportunities to some kids. So doing a really good job, Hawthorn.
Just on the Hawks, there was all that discussion at the start of the year, and when they weren't going well, that would be it for Josh Gibson, that would be it for Sean Burgoyne, that would be it for Luke Hodge. Sean Burgoyne has been incredible. I think if Sean Burgoyne wants to play on, he will.
Yeah.
Listen to
Hodge. I think that's a fait accompli now.
Well, it's just fantastic news, I reckon, for the Hawks. And obviously a little bit biased. And Luke Hodge works with us here at Triple M Footy. There's so much discussion about his future, and a lot of people think that's it for him. I reckon when he mic'd himself up 2 weeks ago on the Channel 7 coverage, Duck, which was absolutely brilliant, the Thursday night game in Adelaide, I reckon that just showed to me and probably the footy world that he might not be in their top 10 players even next year, and there's a fair argument he would be, but the role he plays on the ground, he is coaching out on the ground. So for mine, if he wants to play next year, give him another year. I don't know how you boys feel about that, and I really give my opinion in this sort of
case. He's been pretty good. I mean, if he wanted to play, and I think his form warrants it, I just don't think Hodgie wants to put himself, I don't know, I've never asked him, but I just get the feeling, Swatter, that I just get the feeling he'll retire at the end of the year, to be honest. And by the way, that was, we've mic'd up a lot of players on Friday night footy and Thursday night footy on Seven, and he was by far the best one that we've mic'd up. It was good to listen to, whereas other captains, all you hear them, good one.
Duck, do you hear the stuff that doesn't go to air? Do you get the stuff on the cutting room floor?
No, but I think Hodgie may have just played up just a little bit, about 50 or 60% when he knew the mic was on.
Clever. It is now time for
the Sunday Rubs.
Oh, back to school.
Back to school quiz.
And we have introduced the specialist of the back to school quiz.
Don't let people look at
that. Okay, sorry, Duck. We've introduced the specialist to the back to school quiz. This man's only done it once. I told you he knew football like few in the world. A trivia, Nathan Brown joins us for the quiz, and hopefully we'll stick around after that.
Yeah, very good to be here. I just saw Duck out in the coffee room, and he said, look, it's been a bit flat today. Two goals down before half time, and we need a lift out of somebody. And that's obviously me.
We've got you.
Hey, how was Kane Corns before we get to you this morning? You would have been with him on the Sunday footy show
this morning. Yeah, with Dimmer, yeah. Copped a good whack, Kane Corns, and his Kane Corns fashion, he copped it on the chin and went pretty back hard again today. Had some good reasoning, so very intelligent young man. I thought that maybe Dimmer was a little bit disrespectful.
Do they get on, those two? Are they falling out somewhere, Brownie?
I don't think they're great mates, but I don't think they're enemies either. I think at two ends of the career, I think one was older, one was younger, and I don't think they spend a lot of time together.
All right, test the buzzers.
Swatter, swatter.
JJ.
Duck, duck.
Brown dog.
Oh, you have to say it twice. Whatever you go with, it has to be twice.
Brown, brown.
Okay. The double brown.
Probably. Here we go. Dog, squigger.
The back to school quiz. Brownie's only done it once and he won it. I tell you, he's very good in this space, as Damo would say. Okay, maths. Nearest the pin. Everyone gets a crack. How many goals did David Neitz and Russell Robertson kick combined?
Duck.
1,252. Hang on. 1,252. Brownie?
Brown, brown.
Yes.
I am going to go with 894.
Swatter, swatter.
932.
Yeah. And Clarkey?
900.
900. Righto. The answer is 1,059.
Ducky.
So the closest would be...
Duck.
No, I reckon it's Swatter with 932. Would be closer than Duck's 1,252. So one to Swatter.
Well done, Swatter.
History. Which four colours appeared on Fremantle's first home jumper?
Brown, brown.
Well, brown, brown.
White.
Yes.
Purple.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
And...
Yes.
Black.
JJ.
No.
JJ.
JJ.
Red.
And?
Oh, purple, green and white.
Yes. One for Clarkey there after Brownie did a lot of the
nice
hard yards.
Dog.
Geography. Oh, this would really test the non-intellectuals in this box. Which current Australian AFL ground is the farthest east?
Ooh.
Duck, duck.
Yes.
I'll just say GWS is ground.
No, I'll give you a hint.
Swatter, swatter.
Byron Bay is the most easterly point of Australia.
Kazali Stadium.
Brown Brown.
Incorrect.
Brown Metricon Brown. Stadium.
Correct. The dog.
Well done, Brady.
Knows his geography. Now, this is very confusing here. We've got Swatter on one. We got Clark on one. And now we've got Brownie on one. Thank you. All right. Guess this player. We go to a Carlton game in round 21 versus Melbourne 2015.
Swans four to the middle. Head pass to Look at the big man go. He's 50 out.
Is it Big Cruiser?
Let's play the correct audio with Barry Denner on fire.
Head pass to Cruiser. Look at the big man go. Yes. He's 50 out.
Oh, this is good. What gave it away? The big man part?
Yeah.
Duck, Brownie, Swatter and Jay-Z all equal on one.
You had,
English.
You had the big fella in the goal square or someone who was going to get on the run. It was a pretty easy outcome.
And Barry Denner calling the socks off.
You didn't. I didn't hear your buzzer.
No. English. On Carlton's senior list, there are three players whose first and last names start with the same letter.
Brown Brown.
Name two of them, yes?
Charlie Cameron.
Mm. No.
Oh.
He plays for the Adelaide Crows.
Charlie
Cameron. You know, I'm a Charlie Kerno, I meant.
Yes, but I keep your trap shut about now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Charlie Kerno's one.
You haven't used your buzzer yet, Jay-Z.
Yeah, I'm still thinking the other's Howie.
Three. Really tough question. Who's the captain? Two. One.
Mark Murphy.
Well, I had him too.
Charlie Kerno.
Well, I haven't heard a buzzer yet.
Brown Brown.
Duck, duck. You're already out. Brown Brown. Duck, duck.
Mark Murphy. Charlie Kerno.
Yes, a bit lucky, but Duck has got that. Goes to two. And leads.
What was that, a process of elimination?
During the week, who said this?
I accept that at no time is this kind of action.
Duck, duck.
Bahua.
Oh, full name,
first
please.
First name.
Hey?
First name.
First
what? Name.
JJ.
Name.
Jay.
Oh, yes. What about the standard stall? Hey, what? Sorry? What? All right. Who am I? I was born on the 21st of September, 1977.
I'm good at these.
Let me listen to him. I played 271 games, kicking 234 goals. I'm a one-club player who was an All-Australian in 2002. I played in one losing grand final.
Duck, duck.
Duck, duck.
Is it Lance Whitnell?
No. Mm. I am placed second for the all-time consecutive games.
Brown, Brown.
Brown, Brown.
Shane Woden.
No. Played. I played for Melbourne. I am. Ooh. Adam.
Swatter, Swatter.
Swatter.
Uzo.
Yes.
Oh, thanks, Sandra Sully.
Did you say Uzo?
No, he didn't. But Duck, you win it. Three. Swatter, two. Brownie and Jay-Z on one. Triple M footy, just jump on there. There's not a great deal of stuff that amuses me on Twitter, but Ducky, you've just been sent a photo on social media that is an extraordinary lookalike to you. I cannot quite believe it.
Yeah, I'm just showing Jack Watts, who's just walked into the box.
It's an old Australia Post poster of a woman dressed up and looks exactly like you, Duck. So you'll see it on at Triple M Footy.
It's a better-looking version of Duck.
G'day, Wattsy. Jack Watts has rolled into the studio. He'll be a lot better when we stick a microphone on him so we can have a chat with him. Great to see the Melbourne champ in the box. Alongside him, just the new age media man from Melbourne, Ryan Larkin, who's been through 15 coaches but now looks to be in a very nice position. He's had a lot of coaches on board. Jack Watts is here. Hello, Wattsy. How are you?
Going very well, Howie.
Hey, great to see you. I'm fantastic. Well, you've just seen that picture of Duck as a woman. Extraordinary resemblance, wasn't there?
That looks pretty nice.
How are you travelling off the ground at the minute, Tech?
Off the ground, yeah. Pretty steady, actually.
Pretty steady.
A bit different to the last time I saw you, but she's going well.
Very
going
good.
Well. Hey, how's the hamstring, mate? I believe you'd never had a hamstring before, and unfortunately it's kept you out for a little bit longer than all us footy fans would like.
It's a bit frustrating, yeah. I sort of, it was very minor in the first place, and then I tried to come back the next week, and then sort of had a setback, and then did the same the next week, so... A little bit frustrating now, just taking a bit of time and getting it right. Hopefully next week.
What about social media at the moment? I love what Clayton Oliver did. Damian Martin obviously tweeted, and then he tweeted straight back. And there's a lot of people saying, oh, you can't do that. You've got to concentrate on your footy. How hard is it to send a tweet out when somebody gives you a clip on Twitter? And I saw Simon Goodwin on a couple of occasions said we want our players to use respect, but I didn't think he was being disrespectful. It was just a bit of fun.
Yeah, it's a really tough one, I think, at the moment. Obviously there's sort of two sides to it that, you look over in America and the sports over there and how they handle social media and, they sort of use it a lot to pump themselves up and motivate themselves. I think, we're probably not in a similar way over in Australia. And for us players, it's pretty difficult. But I think, you know, if you sort of keep it simple, as you said, you know, and that's sort of what Goody tells us is, you know, use respect and don't get ahead of yourself. Don't, you know, put yourself out there too much. Yeah, I think you should be fine, but fine line, I guess.
Mm.
Your man, Tommy Bug, was in the news on that front for his controversial Instagram post. Now, I'm not sure if you remember the cartoon, Watsy. You know, there's the big dog. Is he like Butch or Chuck or something? And then there's the little dog. And he's like, what do you want to do today, Spud? Like, you know that.
You're JC, top my yeah. Lord. You're just dark.
Which one am I, JC?
Yeah,
which
one? Clarky.
Is it fair to say you're the big dog in that relationship, and that Tommy Bug is like the little dog, sort of nipping. What are you going to do today? What's he? What are we going to do? Is that how that sort of relationship
the voice
rolls?
The cartoon voice. Do you realise we're on air at the moment, Clarky?
No,
just one
it.
More time if someone missed it.
No, that's it. That was a shocker. Is it fair to say, sort of Buggy likes the way you roll?
Yeah, I think we're, you know, it's pretty mutual, I must admit. I love the Bugster. He's obviously a character and, you know, he's probably just stepped across the line a little bit. But, you know, we love him and as a club we'll support him. And, yeah, he knows that last week he sort of stuffed up and, you know, he's obviously very apologetic for that. But
Has he taken it hard? Obviously, he was pretty distraught in the rooms after the game, after the Callum Mills hit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with what had happened the weeks before that, you know, it sort of all culminated in into that last week sort of debacle. But you know, he'll be fine. He'll bounce back. He's sort of set himself for these next few weeks, and he knows what he has to do to come back into the side bigger and stronger.
Hey, Jack, it's been highlighted in recent times how much stress and pressure there is on the modern AFL football. And I mentioned it earlier on that Isaac Smith was interviewed yesterday before his 150th game and said that he doesn't worry about it. He just wants to go out there and have fun and enjoy his footy. You've probably ridden the roller coaster of football as much as any player in the last 10 years. Is it fun for you at the moment playing footy? And has there been times when it hasn't been fun?
Pretty easy for Isaac Smith to say that after four flags. And, he's probably won 130 games out of 150.
Absolutely.
And I'm sort of coming up to 150 as well, and I've probably, you know, won 20 games or whatever it is. But, I mean, it's pretty difficult if you're losing every week and there's pressure and the coaches are under pressure. And, you know, it's probably just a bit of an environment thing. That's where it's so important, I think, for coaches and for the football department to get that right for the players, because there is so much pressure as it is just to play footy. But, you know, at the same time, I think individually people deal with it very differently. And, you know, I'm sure there's people in, you know, winning flags, winning games that are struggling and find it pretty tough, and guys down the bottom that, you know, can sort of enjoy it and you know, look at the bright side of it, I guess. But
it's a shame in some ways, because there's a few of us in this box that have got young children. I've got a five-year-old and he just wants to grow up and play for the Hawks, and that's what he's wanted to do. And I'm sure you grew up just wanting to play footy. So many kids out there want to do it. You'd hope that when you get there to live your dream that it'd be fun, mate.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, it's the best job in the world. You know, it's it just doesn't get any better, and you get to go out with your best mates and you spend every day with them. And you know, I'm sure a lot of you have sort of played footy before and understand just that camaraderie in the rooms and the, you know, just the crap you talk all the time. That's what it's all about. But yeah, I guess these days, just with the media and the pressure and you know, how negative, I think that's what the problem that I see with it that frustrates me the most, is just how negative stories seem to get so much more traction and so much more, you know, influence over.
Do you reckon
the public?
That's a reflection on what? What do you reckon comes first? Do you reckon the media reports it that way, and then that's what the public are forced to consume, or do you reckon that's what the public wants to consume, and therefore the media ties in with that?
It's a hard question. I wouldn't really know.
Yeah.
But clearly, the public enjoy it, and clearly, it's probably what sells papers a bit more. So that's where the media go with it. So, I mean, it's a tough one. I've sort of put the papers away for the last 5-10 years and just stay away from it.
I don't know if you've done this, Jack, but if you were asked to give a bit of advice to a number one draft pick, what would it be, given the fact that you're in a unique position and your own experiences?
Yeah, I mean, for me, basically what I sort of had going through everything that I did in early years, you know, I just knew that I was a... I was a good person. I treated people well. I treated people with respect, and you know, and I wanted to enjoy my life. That's pretty much what my dad told me from when I was, you know, 5 years old. Just, you got to enjoy yourself. You got to have fun, and as long as you treat people well and you're a good person, then, you know, nothing else really matters. So I think it's probably just staying really strong and true to your values and what you really, you know, hold dear. And, yeah, I guess, you know, and I've got a great group of mates that, you know, are with me no matter what. And that's probably the, you know, that's really what matters to me, not, you know, whether I can kick a footy, so...
We had Maxi Gawn on Friday Night Footy a few weeks ago, and we asked him about Paul Roos, and he's on holidays today. It was a good day. And Maxi said that Paul Roos spent most of the time having coffees in his last year, and today he's not here again.
Oh, big Roos, yeah. He actually messaged me, when was it, a week ago, saying I'm heading over there. I've got my board shorts business. So he said, I need some new boardies. And
not a freebie.
I thought a man that's, you know, earning seven figures a year.
Yeah, exactly. More cash than
any. He's hit you up for some free boardies.
Yeah. Come on, Roosie.
Got to sort Roosie out. But he's having fun over there in Hawaii, isn't he?
Yeah, well, the rest of us are back here working. Quite a few of the boys. We asked Max, who we said, we spoke to Jack Viney about it. We spoke to Bernie Vince. Lazy was the term we kept getting back for Roos.
I mean, for me personally, I didn't see that at all, really. Lazy. I more saw, you know, that's Roosie's personality, isn't it? He's a bit more laid back. He's more, you know, a bit more of a people's person, whereas you look at Goody and he's obviously a lot more, you know, figures and quite into the, you know, knowledge of the game, that kind of thing. I'd say Roosie's a bit more of a motivator and a bit more, I guess that's, you know, his personality is he's not going to be there 2 hours before and lock in because that'd burn him out. Mm. And that's sort of one thing that I loved about Roosie, what he actually brought to our club was just that balance. You're allowed to have that balance. It's not, you don't need 46 Jack Vineys. You need a few of them, definitely. But you don't all have to be wired that way.
Fair to say you and Roosie had similar personalities?
Probably, yeah. Yeah,
and that's why I got the best out of you?
I'd say so, yeah. Or maybe he probably just understood me a fair bit and you know, supported me and realised that, you know, I like a bit of a cuddle every now and then, a bit of support, instead of, you know, just getting whacked.
Don't come and work at Triple M post. That's the advice I would give you.
Duck blocks a cuddle.
Hey, how'd Jesse Hogan go this week? Watsy obviously back. He spent a fair bit of time out with after the cancer surgery. Have you seen him on the track? How motivated is he at the moment?
Yeah, he's pretty excited, the big guy. Yeah, I think, you know, he just loves playing footy. He's that sort of competitive beast that just loves getting out there and kicking the footy. So, you know, he's been fantastic over the last 4 or 5 weeks. You know, it's sort of a tendency for him is to go a bit insular and, you know, maybe not get around the boys as much when things aren't going his way out in the footy field. But, you know, this last couple of months, he's been incredible. Sort of really noticed a big shift in him, and his positivity sort of gets everyone else going. And, you know, it's great to see. So can't wait to see him kick a couple of snaggies today.
And you've had the makeshift forward line really been much smaller. How much impact do you think it will have structurally for your forward line just to have that sort of long get eight target? Cameron Pedersen's been going well, but... I mean, Jesse really has that presence, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He does. I think, you know, the way I look at it, the way we've been playing probably since he's been out is we're getting the ball in there a lot more. And so it's been helping us forwards. But if you put a Hogan in that situation, getting more opportunities, he's going to convert a lot more than, you know, anyone else in our forward line. So that's, you know, it's only going to be a positive thing. And, you know, I'm sure we'll see that today.
Jack, we got hold of him via an illegal email. Jay-Z did a body composition test 2 weeks ago, and we got his skinnies. What are your skinnies? What do you typically come in at?
I actually just came in last week at 38.
38.
Oh,
that's a bit pretty low. Good. That's good.
It's a bit low, actually.
Well, I did a body fat percentage.
Percentage.
It was 24.5, what's he?
24.5.
He's off at Doritos,
mate. Would that get him a game at Melbourne? Or
I don't know if Goody would be too happy with that one.
And just before we let you go, Watsy, I was talking to someone about the other day, years ago, probably your first year at the club. I did a Rising Star story with you boys. We went down to Warrnambool. Brent Maloney had a boxing camp, and I was trying to figure out
who it was that you got into the ring with after a full day and a half of practice and started sparring. And I'm just trying to remember the player that absolutely belt the suitcases out of you. I'm not sure if it was Colin Garland, but it was someone gave you an absolute hiding.
It wasn't Liam Jarrah when I had a broken thumb and had to box with one arm, and he didn't really take it too easy on me.
To the point where the Melbourne media manager at the time, which was probably before Rye, actually rang me and said, "Hey, mate, some of that footage of what's he getting belted? Can you not put that in the story?"
We might just put that one away for a while. Well, that was half as bad as the... Rodney Ryan. Yeah, that was him, the big fella. That was our boxing coach down there. But in my first week at the D's, we were doing a sparring session, and I got put in with Brock McLean.
How'd that go?
I was pissing out blood out of my nose in the first probably 10 seconds, and then I just covered up for the next 2 minutes and, prayed for the best. But that was good fun.
Good on you, Watsy. We really appreciate your time. Back out there next week, you reckon?
Hoping. So pretty close.
2 weeks. Yeah. 2 weeks.
Best of luck to you and the Demons, mate. Hopefully finals and more things than that. Great to speak to Jack Watson.
Funny, the blokes with the most cash want the freebies.
Roosie.
He dialed up Jack and said, give us some board shorts.
You've been ripping $1.7 million out of Melbourne for the last 5 years.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
A couple of things blowing up for Twitter at the moment at Triple M Footy. The picture of a female version of Duck from the 1930s is quite extraordinary. You can see that picture on at Triple M Footy. And also a lot of requests coming through. Can we rehear Jay-Z impersonating a cartoon voice? For those that missed it, this was it.
Now, I'm not sure if you remember the cartoon, Watsy. You know, there's the big dog. Is he like Butch or Chuck or something? And then there's the little dog. And he's like, what do you want to do today, Spud? Like, you know that.
Is
it fair to say you're the big dog in that relationship and that Tommy Bug is like the little dog sort of nipping here? What do you want to do today? What are we going to do? Is that how that sort of relationship rolls?
Did you roll something up in the break, Guru?
If I had my time again, Howie.
You said you were going to the loo. I thought you needed a wee.
Look, I'm told on pretty good authority that Buggy likes the way Watsy rolls and sort of tries to get around him, and Watsy sort of slaps him off a little bit. No, they're two really good mates. Hey, Big Three time. Yep. Brownie, I know you're a big kingpin down there at Sportsbet, but your premiership betting at the moment is certainly under the microscope because you've still got Greater Western Sydney as equal premiership favourites. Now, they play Sydney Swans this Saturday night, the Battle of the Bridge. Now, I think this game could really shape the season. It'll be one of the biggest of the last 2 months because, tell me if I'm wrong here, but what happens if Sydney beats the Giants? Because Sydney's probably the form team of the competition at the moment over the last 5 or 6 weeks. If they can knock off the equal premiership favourites in Sydney at the weekend, does that mean Sydney is the new...
They probably will go into the favouritism. And at one stage, they were $101.
It's the best bet in footy.
Look, I think they'll win too. I think they'll beat GWS. You've got to appreciate how good GWS have been on top of the ladder with the injuries they have. They are picking from 26 players per week at the moment. Got some really good players out. So it's going to be hard for them to get all those players back and cohesive before finals time. So I'm not sure about GWS this year for the flag, but they will win one at some point.
Are they good enough, Duck, the Giants, from what you've seen?
I think they...
They're on the nose a bit.
Oh, look, I agree with Brownie. I think they've done really well considering the players that they've had out of this footy team. And I agree, that's going to be the tricky part. Some of these players come back over the next 7 rounds. It's how they bring them back and you know, do they get back at all? Some of those players that are injured, they're more long-term, aren't they? So it's who they get back. Green's are such an important player to them. He was a big out, obviously, yesterday.
Well, on that very topic, and it's a long way out to go, and I know you blokes say, okay, I want everyone now to give me a tip. Who wins the grand final? Let's see how varied it is. Swatter, who wins the grand final?
Oh, I've got no idea. Sydney.
I got the Cats.
The Cats. Duck?
Oh, I don't know. At this point.
I'm going to go the Crows. I think they'll win two finals and get here.
So there you go. We've already got three different teams from three different points, and Duck couldn't offer one up. So it shows you how even it is. It's and you've gone for Sydney, who were...
It was just a guess.
0-6.
Because I got no idea.
And that's the wonderful thing about the season, Schwatter.
The team that can get their form right with about 4 weeks to go and carry it through the finals are as good a chance of winning.
The Bulldogs lost. They got belted in the last round last year by Fremantle, who were on the bottom of that stage. And that goes to show you what you can do if you get your 4 weeks right.
And the point that you can't tell me, and no one wants to try and tell me. Normally at this stage of the year, there's a reasonably clear one or two sides. At the moment, it's one of seven teams could win the Premiership, which is wonderful.
As good as the Dogs' fairy tale win was last year, with all the history, etc., if Sydney did get off the canvas, coming back from 0-6, given that's never happened before, would that be an even better story, like an even more remarkable feat in footy terms?
Oh, of course it would be, given that they were 0-6 at the start of the year. It'd be a great
story.
No
one rated them.
They are more than capable of playing off in the grand final this year.
And they're going to have to roll out with three interstate finals at least for the Swans. They're not going to get a home final, are they, if they finish eighth on the ladder? It's a long way back from there.
Yeah, well, that's why they have to get some fifth or sixth they're first,
game,
maybe.
You know, when
they're one game behind Richmond in fourth spot. It's
extraordinary. Their form coincided with the night they were aggressive against Johannesson. The night they went after him that night, turned around everything. Everybody tipped the Dogs, because they were going okay at that point, the Dogs. They haven't won pretty much since then, apart from a one-point win against North Melbourne. So that night set them up. Well done to John Longmire, who set them on the path where they are at the moment, along with Parker then returning to form. He's been the big one.
The issue around the Bulldogs at the moment is fascinating, because it seems like for the first time this weekend, Luke Beveridge acknowledged the hunger issues at play, and he was asked about that, whether the Dogs were lacking a hunger compared to last year. And he said that he would be asking his men, probably for the first time this year, or that's the sense you got, some really hard questions. Where are they at, Duck? You saw them obviously very, very closely. You're seeing that manic defensive pressure, you know, why are they in a state of decline this year?
I just think it's just a complete lack of confidence right now. For the first time under Luke Beveridge, they just have none of it, and that's what they've got to try to find. And that's
how do you
why
do that, mate?
And that's why I think, well, you can't just switch it on, you just can't. It takes time, and that's why I think they're going to miss the finals, in my opinion. Now, I think I know they've got a reasonable draw, although there's no easy wins, Swatter, but it's a reasonable draw if you look at, I guess, their teams that are outside the eight. So reasonable from that sense. But I just think that they're on the canvas. They're as flat as I've ever seen them, like I said, under Luke Beveridge. And he acknowledged that on Friday night. So that's his challenge, and the players' challenge is to try and find that, Swatter. And they've got a pretty big break Friday to today week they play, so they've got a lot of time to work through what they're doing right and wrong. And right at the moment, if you looked at the form ladder, the Dogs would be on the bottom, probably on the bottom of the ladder.
Do you look at some sort of a circuit breaker? We saw the Cats have gone up to Queensland this week. They've all lauded, you know, the sun on their backs. I'm not sure whether they've had a beer or not. Is there a place for that sort of stuff in the modern game, for the Dogs, where they go away for a night or two? Does that still hold a place?
Well, Dennis Pagan used to say you can't just grab a jar of confidence in Puckle Street. So it'd be nice if you could just go and buy a jar of confidence brownie. Actually, just grab a little bit off. Grab a little bit off brownie.
He's got, here he goes.
He's got plenty of it. But it is. It's you know, like I said, I think, and also for the I think they've lost that belief that they had, and that comes with confidence, obviously.
And they've got a lot of players on the edge and out of form. I think 15 of their players that played the other night have played reserves football this year, which is an extraordinary amount of numbers to play reserves grade football, to go out against Adelaide on a Friday night.
Yeah, and Cloak and Boyd, obviously, Schwatter, dealing with the mental health issue at the moment. You've obviously applaud their forwardness, really, in coming out and seeking help.
Yeah, I actually reckon it's a cultural change in attitudes from players. I think that clubs and players are more inclined to speak up now, and I think that's a great position. It's never great that you learn about Tommy Boyd and Travis Cloak and Alex Fasolo, but I think it's a definite shift in the way that they think. And I'll always applaud players to make this decision, because their mental health is just as important as their physical ability to play and perform. And at the end of the day, you know, like the three of us played, but there was no social media. There was no smartphones. The issue of social media is a big problem in the modern-day footballer's life. And, you know, we spoke to Jack. Jack doesn't read papers. If I was playing now, the last place I'd be going is to the social media marketplace just to get a pat on the back, because it ain't coming.
And the third issue this week is clearly blown up over the weekend is Bernie Tomic. So it was a bit of a limp effort, really, over at Wimbledon. Bundled out pretty quickly, and Sunday Herald Sun got the scoop today. And Bernie Tomic, we'll get your thought on these comments because they are incredible, really. He says, "You probably don't like me at only 24, but you guys can only dream about having what I have at 24. End of the day, don't like me or whatever. Just go back dreaming about your dream car or house while I go and buy them," he says.
I'll chip in here for mine. That is top three quotes of the year. I think it is absolutely fantastic. Obviously, he's not going well on the tennis court. I loved his honesty in the initial press conference.
Yes.
Any man that's got the balls to come out and say that, I think we need to respect Duck.
Well, it's unusual, isn't it? It's unusual. I mean, all of that sort of stuff. I mean, he's now reacting to, you know, I guess, all the criticism that's come his way. But in terms of, I guess, as a has-been footballer, Swatter, but at the highest level, you just find it hard to comprehend how a player cannot try at times when he's on that bigger stage. That's what I find hard. In terms of his behaviour and all that sort of stuff, he's a young man and he's growing up and he's doing all that. I don't really look into that. But the not trying, Swatter, is a thing that I just find hard to take.
It's an individual sport, though. When you play in a team sport, you'll get called out for it. So yeah, you're accountable to everybody else within the organisation, yet he's accountable largely to himself.
I reckon if you interviewed at their worst moment, player 25 to 125 on the ATP Tour, men's or women's, at some stage of their career, they would have felt exactly like Bernard Tomic was. The difference was, they wouldn't come out and say it.
Yeah. We said he was bored on the court, and his old man, he's followed up as well. He says, "He's my son, I love him, Bernie, but I'm ashamed at how he's approaching his business. It's not good what he's doing," the former taxi driver said. "I do not support such behaviour, especially a unique Grand Slam like Wimbledon. You have to respect and follow the rules. You have to work hard. You have to put in 100% and challenge yourself." So he's clearly having a crack at his son's desire there from John. I don't mind his approach.
Wake up at some stage and realise that money isn't everything. Yeah, money makes you happy because you can buy nice things, but there are more things that make you happy than just that. And he'll wake up and figure that out one day, Mark.
Just go back dreaming about your dream car or house. Why I go buy them, mate. I don't mind that.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.